The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" And he said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what must we do?" And he answered, "Stop collecting more than that which is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether, in fact, John might be the Christ. But John answered, "I am baptizing with water. One mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Our first reading encourages us to rejoice. And the gospel reading finishes, "John the Baptist preached good news." So I'd like to look at this gospel reading and draw it into the present moment. This narrative about John the Baptist appears in all four gospels. Chapter 3 here in Matthew. It's also in chapter 3 in Luke and Matthew. In chapter 1 in Mark and John. The reason for that is Matthew and Luke are the only two Gospels which tell us about the birth of Jesus. So the infancy narrative is in chapter 1 and 2 in these Gospels, essentially, and it delays the public announcement of Jesus and John the Baptist doing so until chapter 3, whereas Mark and John do not tell us about the infancy narrative, and therefore this text appears in the beginning of John and the beginning of Mark. Luke, however, is somewhat different. He adds something not found in the other three texts. And that is, he has this question by the people and by the tax collectors and by the soldiers. Those questions do not appear in the other narratives in the other three Gospels. So let me look at this. See, one of the challenges of homiletics is to take something that had meaning 2,000 years ago and to draw it into the present context and say, what does this mean to us today? Not what did it mean back then, but how does this speak to us today? And the first thing we'll notice is they went out into the desert. Now, read on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and you'll find that Jesus says to his followers, "What did you go out into the desert to see? Who did you go out to meet? Somebody dressed in fine purple? Somebody who is rich and famous?" No. We didn't go out to... You want to go to see people who get applause? No, you didn't go out. You went out to see the prophet. And biblically, the prophet does not tell the future. I think we've talked about that before. We think prophets are those who tell the future. Not true in biblical language. In biblical language, Isaiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, all the great prophets were sent to interpret the present age, to enlighten the moment now. Way back when, years and years ago, in my last incarnation, when we studied prophecy, and we did it in Latin, they said the prophet is sent per modum actus, not per modum habitus, not habitually. He's not sent forever or for the whole time of his life. He's sent for promotum actus for a particular time, to give a particular message, and to give an insight into something which is happening now. So let me look at this. So they went out into the desert to meet the prophet, to discover something about themselves. Now it may well be that somewhere in life, every one of us is visited by moments of bankruptcy. We're empty. Life is boring. It's not a new day. It's just another day. We're discouraged. We have a conflict. We're weighed down. Our spirit is fatigued. And when that happens, life becomes boring, repetitive. Relationships become dry. Just functional. We talked about that last week. Functional, dry, empty relationships. This happens. Happens to the best of people. It's part of the economy of life. When this happens, people respond in different ways. Some people drink more. Well, might be unconscious, then you maybe don't notice it, but it doesn't help. Other people will shop more. Or they get more things. Or they go on a vacation and say, well, we'll just take the problem to a new location. We didn't change, we just changed locations. But some people will say, I need to go into the desert. Now, the desert in the present context could be many places, but it's a place of quiet. It's a place where I look deep inside myself. Ancient wisdom said, enter the cave of the heart. The truth lies within. Stop the world. Pause. Look deep inside yourself and begin to find and recover some sense of who you are and the meaning of life. That's what this gospel is about. So, the people go into the desert to look for the prophet, to understand themselves in a deeper way, to capture in a new way the meaning of life. And in the Gospel of Luke here, we have people asking questions. The people ask, what must we do? And he said, you're clinging to something. If you have two tunics, give away one. And if you have food, share your food. Now that's a symbol, a figurative expression. When we translate that into today, the question is, to what am I clinging? What is it that I will not share? What weighs me down because I worry about losing it? What wakes me up at night and says, well, if this happened, what would my life be like? I'm clinging to something. And the prophet says, share it. Find the meaning of life in the manner in which you share, not in the manner in which you hold. And then the tax collectors, or more properly from the Greek, it's toll collectors. And these are local people who undercut their own people to collect exorbitant tolls for a foreign Roman occupying force. So they undercut their own people. So what must we do? Don't undercut somebody. Don't undercut somebody's reputation. What does this mean today? How do we speak about people? Do we undercut even those who are closest to us through our selfishness or through our greed or through our control? We undercut the value, the personal value of another person. So don't undercut. That's the prophet saying to us. And the soldiers come. There was no Roman legion in Palestine at this time. But these are local mercenaries who work for the Roman occupying authority. And he said, be satisfied with what you have. Be satisfied with your wages. Count your blessings. Joseph Heller, in his book, The Catch-22, says, Concentrate and count your blessings. Because if you focus only on what you do not have, you'll never have enough. You're always looking for more. So, to the soldiers, he said, be satisfied. Count your blessings and be grateful. Now, all of this is not meant to solve problems. It's meant to predispose us for the coming of the Lord. The fulfillment will happen in the coming of the Lord. What we are doing in the desert here with John the Baptist is preparing the way. We spoke about that last week. The mountains will be lowered. The valleys will be filled in. The emptiness of the valleys, the greed of the mountains, they'll all be flattened. Crooked paths will be made straight, and harmony will reign. They say, you know, read Elijah the prophet, it says, the lion and the lamb will lay down. Well, somebody did say the lamb won't get much sleep, but nonetheless. But the lion won't become a lamb, and the lamb won't become a lion. But they will be harmony. And that's what's missing. Greed offends harmony. Generosity nurtures harmony. To undercut somebody offends harmony. To bless somebody, to give a compliment, enriches harmony. To be satisfied, to celebrate, to give thanks, to say it's a good day, nurtures harmony. To murmur, complain, and offends harmony. I've said before, Fulton Sheen had this thing about the optimist and the pessimist. When you got up this morning, the optimist said, good morning, God, it's wonderful. Pessimist, good God, it's morning. You know, so the word of God calls us to be optimistic, to say, wow, count my blessings, it's a good day. We're preparing for Christmas, and we're worn out. You're worn out already. And a lot of people, when they get to Christmas, say, thank God it's over, because I'm so fatigued by all of this. Go to the desert. Go to a place of quiet. Go to a place of silence and recover the gift of true living. And finally, there is a true story in a book by Daniel O'Leary, this priest in England. And he tells a story about this boy who is blind. And one morning, he's sitting outside a building in London, and he has a sign saying, I'm blind, please help. And he has a hat in front, and very, very few people put any gift in his hat. And this one man comes along, and he puts a euro in the hat. And then he takes the sign, and he turns it around, and he writes something on it, and he leaves. And then, strangely enough, people begin to put money in the hat. This man comes back later. The blind boy recognizes his footsteps, and he said, you're the man who came this morning and turned my sign around, and you wrote something on it. What did you write? And this man said, I wrote the truth, but in different language. I wrote on your sign, you are having a beautiful day, and I can't see it. One is the truth, the other is the experience of truth. Can we see? Take a second look. Did the prophet speak to you, and have you seen as you approach the coming of the Lord? Amen.